Okay, Sunday morning, 7:30, 23 is another teaching. This is called Keep Dipping Into Your Barrel. Little lighter note. Now we got the care out of the way. All right, we're going to keep dipping into our barrel. Divine supply, supernatural increase is a well that does not run dry. We're going to go back to 1 Kings. We looked at, I think, this last week. I may repeat some scriptures, but it's okay. 1 Kings chapter 17. Starts out, when Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So I went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Can you imagine? You know, Lord said, go on your back porch and the grackles are going to bring you your food. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. I listened to it was a kind of a round table. There was seven or eight, something like that, women. And they were all, you could tell, spirit-filled Christian women. And one woman was very much, you know, she flowed in some spiritual gifts and everything to the other women. And one thing I heard, I think it's Chaz Carter's wife, she said, I'm very concerned about the EBS, because she said, God's people are looking to that. You know what the Lord gave me about the golden calf? God's people are looking to that to be their Savior instead of God. And they were concerned about that. And then on the next breath, they're talking about boycott everything. Boycott, boycott, boycott. I said, well, Lord, at least I got part of it right. But you know what? It's not about a reset. Looking for the reset. Yeah, everybody in the natural is looking for relief. But that can't be who we serve. So it was nice to hear some Christians actually saying that. So, well, I'm not so off the wall, am I? Because I thought, Lord, the golden calf, really? They come out of Egypt, laden with silver and gold. Next thing you know, he's up getting God's law, and they're back to their shenanigans that they did in Egypt. Taking their gold and making a god out of it. Our nation's in trouble. I mean, we need to speak what we want, but we have a lot of work ahead of us. I'll just say that. reprogramming Christians, not just getting the lost saved, but reprogramming people that have been taught wrong. All right, we're back to Matthew 6 now, again. I'm going to read it again. We need to hear it again. I need to hear it again. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, the Lord's saying, there are no two camps like the church thinks. The church trusts the medical system. The church trusts the financial system. In fact, with the 501c3, the church is enslaved in it. The Lord's saying, you cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Boy, he's trying to get us to grasp the transfer to his kingdom from this natural one. And that's going to come mentally. We already know it in our heart, but it's the mind that gives us the trouble. The renewing of the mind process. That's why we read these scriptures like we do over and over and over and over and over and over. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. I'm so thankful the Lord's going to take the devil out and bind him in the pit, because that's how Tartaria fell. I believe it was legit. I mean, there's too many structures. They tried to destroy them through the... They'd come in and have the world fair, and they would put facades over these massive buildings that they built, and they'd have the fair for 6 months, then they would tear everything down to the ground. That's how they took out the structures of Tartaria. And all their systems, all the ways they use free energy and all of these things. What was the difference? Artificial intelligence. They took them out with weather warfare. You know, that's one of the things that the Lord has put on my heart about the artificial intelligence. That's why we began to speak, that there's no more devil in the details. A perfect utopian society where everyone loved one another. They had high technology, healing frequencies, people were not sick, people were wealthy, people had advanced technology. But what was the factor that the little leaven that leavened the whole lump? The devil. The same thing that we're dealing with today. All right, help us, Lord. Okay, right here. The barrel didn't look full, but just enough for the day was in there. When she dipped out, it filled back in enough for the next day. Supernatural. Jesus said that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's John 7:38 there, right here. Let's look at it. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, living there means running water. The best water is running water. Running water is fresh water, a new fresh supply anytime we tap into it. The world system and its ways cannot disrupt this. In fact, it bypasses it. This is God's system. It's one that flows like running water. It doesn't necessarily mean heaps. It means that it flows. All right? Ecclesiastes 11. Don't let your sowing stop. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. See, the world and even the church does not understand, not all, but some do not understand that it's about your sowing. Your return is about what you've sown, not what you're handed out. Which what we're going to get from what they took from us is not a handout, it's what's duly owed. But I tell you what, people that don't have the right mindset will bow through that like nothing. Be right back in the same mess they were in before. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south, toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In other words, you don't understand this. Well, you don't have to make it work, really. You just do it. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. In other words, your provision is going to come in on every wave, and it's going to come from another source than where you're looking. Everybody's looking to the white hats to get it all done. I'm looking to God to get it all done. Luke 6:38. President Trump is for drilling. Drill, baby, drill. That's what he says, drill, baby, drill. But most of the people in it think oil and gas is evil, even the white hats. I'm thinking, we better be depending on God, not oil. That's not our source. God is. All right, Luke 6:38. Give. It shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, all shall measure to you again. So, what am I saying here? We can operate in the new kingdom, whether or not the reset ever happens. I mean, there's something happening every day to kind of try to stop it. They say it's going to happen when the EBS happens. Well, if you listened to Phil last night, we know. They use CERN to stop the EBS. But so I said, well, how can you know if you've actually extinguished everything? How can you know if they've done everything? Well, if your surety's in God and you're not trusting in this system, you're just a whole lot better off. How many years have we waited here and it's going to be any minute? I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying it's still the world system. And until artificial intelligence is taken out of it, I don't even want to touch it. God's delivering us from evil. Well, I'm so glad this is his reset, not man's. All right. Running over, it sounds like water, doesn't it? No matter how the world rolls, divine supply cannot be disrupted. According to Luke 6:38, as your giving capacity or measure gets larger, so does your return. The measure you use. All right, I'm going to read this to you so I get all the facts right. Back in 1997, I gave away my brand new Honda Passport. It was bright red. It was beautiful. It was back when they just began to make SUVs. I had it just a very short time. All right. I didn't have a car for 18 months. Amber lived with us, and she had a little old car that she'd let me take her to work, and I'd use her car once in a while. You know, with her, it would render it been hard. We received the vehicle back with more miles on it than I've ever put on a car, having a car 10 years. Kind of like John Evanzini talking about giving away a brand new Chevy of some kind. He said, when I got it back, he said, it's loose as a goose. I thought, that's kind of the way this happened with this vehicle. They rode it hard. Let me just say that. All right. The Lord has been ever since that time, though, the Lord has seen that I drove a nice vehicle since that time. Now, there was some crying in the night, but there was joy in the morning, you know, concerning that. It was a hard year and a half not have a car. All right. This is just one area that God has taught us about his kingdom finances. God has increased us so much. We lived in a 1,200 square foot little house with three kids. Then we moved to a 1,300 square foot house. And then we moved to the little one we built was 1,900 square foot. And it wasn't really until the kids were all gone that we actually got a house where we had some space. Yeah. So it hasn't been just, you know, now I think this house is 5,400 square foot, something like that, for just the two of us. And it's full. We're full. Like I said before, Nanny brought that back to me the other day. You remember when you said, we'll have to get another house. This is just going to be the storage unit. That's how God increases you. You look up and you think it's stuff everywhere. You know, I don't think we're made to be to live in a cracker box. He made us to create. That means we get bigger and bigger. We enlarge our tent, stretch out our stakes, make our tent larger. It's just the way it's supposed to be. All right, Mark 10. And when he was gone forth into the way, verse 17, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. He was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about, and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, our cars. I'll add that for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. There comes to that denying yourself, obeying, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following. That release before increase. This kind of goes with the territory. So many just don't understand God's ways. They can't figure out how me giving away everything and walking for 18 months is going to do anything. No, it has to be led by God. I remember Charles Capps talking about somebody. Saw somebody gave his car away and God gave him a new one. So he gives away his old bomb. And he walked for 18 months. God wasn't in it. God lets you know when you do these things and you just do it on your own. It's just flesh. This isn't fleshly giving. This is spirit-led giving. Now we pay our tithes. God does rebuke the devourer for our sake when we do. All right. They don't understand that it is release before increase. This gets the ball rolling and rather the rivers flowing. That's casting your bread on the waters. Or it's casting your seed in the field. You know, farmers understand this because that's what they do. Or you grow, so you know. It don't come up overnight. But when it starts coming in every way. I saw somebody yesterday, that Kelly lady that has that garden. She had a whole table full of vegetables. She gets that every day. There was squash and all kinds of things all over the table. I'm going, wow, every day? All right. I believe God wants us to have storehouses so we can bless people. It's kind of hard to bless people when you don't have anything, you know? You grow in that. I started out at Christmas. I used to get a little resentful because nobody ever put me on their Christmas list, but I gave out cookies and candy to everybody, just worked. I would get up cooking and baking and all that stuff and give all this stuff away. And I remember one girl saying, well, remember me on that Christmas list. I'm thinking, yeah, I'd like to be remembered on your Christmas list. They didn't ask me to do it for them, but it was like I was sowing what I had. You know? You start where you're at. All right, Luke 12. And I believe it's to be spirit-led. I think that's the best. I think the best return is when you're led by the Spirit. You don't get in the flesh. Luke 12, 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Then he goes on to talk about what we read in Matthew 6 about taking no thought for your life or your body. It says it a little different. No thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. See, we've got this stuff so that we can sow it as the Holy Spirit leads us to, and then we can expect to see it come back in on every wave. If we just do it because that's a principle and I'm going to work it. There is a grace of giving. I didn't put that down here today. It's in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 8 and 9 or 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Let me try to find it here. Is it second? Okay, 2 Corinthians 8. Is it 8 or 9? Okay. All right. Let's start with verse 5 there. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, in all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So he's talking about the grace of giving. God graces you to give. Giving away vehicles has definitely been a grace of giving that God has put on our lives. And we haven't done any of them just to do it. We've only done it as God has instructed. And he's increased us because we have done it. All right. And I'll say something else. Back when we were in the cult, the Lord... We gave our house away. We sold it, took the money, gave it. Being young Christians, not knowing what we were doing, but our hearts were right. And I think I brought this up before. The Lord spoke to me. He said, that's why you've always had a nice home. I said, okay. You know, it wasn't all a wash. We learned some experiences. And the Lord told Danny through a word one day. He said, I brought you through all the sex and the cults and all the stuff. You've seen church splits, you've seen the shepherding movement, you've seen all this stuff. He said, I did it for a reason, so you can know the state of the union as far as the church is concerned. Was it painful? Yes, it was. Those church splits were horrible. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going here. I read Luke 12 to you, right? Okay. Tithing is a starting point, but we don't stop there. Okay, Malachi 3. We start with verse 7 here. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I will, strongest word ever spoken, I will. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field. Time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. All right, Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Right here, wealth. This is what wealth means. A force, whether of men, means, or other resources, an army, virtue, valor, strength, goods, riches, strong substance, and valiant. A person of means. That's what this is. Riches, strong substance, valiant, valor, strength. Means or other resources, an army, virtue. It isn't just, I got plenty of money. It's a person of means. It's what God wants. He wants us to be a person of means. Somebody needs something, they know where to go. They're a person that has supply.